Thank you for joining in once again and listening to another episode of the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm chef and host Jonathan Fraser.
And I'm your co-host Aaron Howlett. Join us again as we go on another culinary adventure of the Comox Valley and beyond. How you doing, John?
Good, Darren. It's good to be back in studio. We're kind of here on a bit of a stormy day, eh?
Yeah.
It's kind of a strange one out there for us because it is howling and pouring rain and there's puddles everywhere. And, you know, like the ferries have been stopped. So We're a little bit stuck on our island here. As big as this island is and how much transport comes to it, it's kind of interesting to know that some of the major ferries aren't running today.
Yeah, I think every once in a while we get those little jolts and reminders that we are on an island and we are reliant on a system and method of transporting goods back and forth.
And it's being the Christmas week is coming up here, so Christmas is right around the corner. We thought we'd do a little talk about a new cookbook that's out.
Sure, yeah.
And we brought a couple guests in. One's an old guest, but one's a new guest to the show.
You can't say that about Leslie. One's a returning guest.
Returning guest. There we go. Yes.
Returning. Thanks. I think Darren. This is what, your sixth time on here, maybe seventh around there.
Four or five. Yeah, about five, I think. Yeah, something like that.
Recurring. Guest.
Yeah, like a mushroom pops up.
And she's joined by Anne Kask, author of the book that we're going to talk about, Ripe. Hi, Anne. Hi, Leslie.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, maybe, Anne, you can start off by talking about what the book is about and how you got into doing this book, because you've got several books that you've published already.
Yes, I have. Well, the book is about fruit.
Right.
So, and it's all about fruit. It's fruit that grows in your backyard, fruit that you're going to get at the farmer market, and it tells you details about the fruit and how to choose it and how to store it, and then it goes into preserving. But the pièce de résistance is the recipes, and the recipes came from the North Island Chefs Association chefs and vendors from the Comox Valley Farmers Market.
Yeah, I think this is amazing. Like, I think it's a really well put together book. Like, it's got that preserving, like teaching you how to deal with a lot of these products. And like, we have such an abundance here with all the fruit trees. You usually go to waste a lot of times, but like, there's the options of what you can, how you can preserve them and how you can take them and what fruits to use and when to use them. Like, I found that really interesting how the book's broken down. But then, yeah, to get all these different recipes from all these chefs and cooks and people who just love these things around this area is absolutely amazing.
I have to agree. When we were doing a quick review, John was quick to point out the front half, how much he liked the front half, how it had a lot of a explanation on, you know, the origin of fruits, how to use the fruits, how to best recognize, what have you. So it's not just a cookbook. It's more about understanding the entirety of the fruit.
And specifically fruit that you can grow here.
Yeah.
And that's actually fantastic. Really nice about it, because
absolutely,
it means that it's not something that it's come from away.
Yeah.
It's actually right here.
So what was the process or of acquiring all the recipes? Like, how did you just put that out there, like accepting recipes, or did you get to try some of these before they ended in there?
Actually, this is where Leslie really comes in.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll just mention that I proposed the idea to Sue Smith, who is secretary of the North Vancouver Island Chefs Association.
Yeah.
And she proposed it to you, Leslie, I believe, and that's where the recipes took off.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, so it was basically what I did is I sent it out to our members, but then I actually sat down with the farmers market representatives and went through their board, and I know a lot of the vendors, so we sent it out to all of them. And basically it was voluntary. And
nice.
Of course, you've got some people that had a recipe back within the same day.
Wow.
And then some of them, you know, kind of peeled in sooner or later. later. So it was trying to get a balance there, and that's where I kept in touch with Anne on that sort of piece, because you didn't want just all apples or anything else. You needed a cross section, and also there's a few fruits in the book that you might not expect to grow here, and there's also some that grow here that we don't necessarily utilize very well. So with using the farmer's market, it's a broader section than just dealing with chefs.
Right.
It's quite often people from other walks of life, and so they bring a different sensibility to the book, which is actually really nice.
Yeah.
It means that maybe they've got something from their grandparents, or that they have been off in another country and they've learned something and they've brought it back.
Right.
So that was actually one of the nice things about it, is it's not narrowed down. It's actually much broader than that.
Oh, that's great.
And the shout out to Anne in terms of, as you say, the very beginning part of the book is awesome, because that's the part that all of us hate, quite frankly. Really. I mean, that research, that detail, that what do I do, you know, and that kind of thing. And it's just like, oh, you know, and you know, making sure that it makes sense, making sure that it's not like some kind of shorthand that is written in our brains, which doesn't necessarily translate. So that collaboration brings all three of those pieces together in one book, which individually it wouldn't be as strong.
So being that it is focused on local fruit, it came from our local valley chefs, local market. How local can this go? I mean, this is like, you could say these fruits and such, or this is pertinent island-wide?
Well, we are the West Coast, so we do get a lot more variety.
Right.
But the Niagara region would still have it, the Annapolis Valley of Nova Scotia. Really, it could go across Canada. There's a few that they might look at and go, and it might actually provoke them to try growing it, too.
Yeah,
you never
that's
know.
Great. Just meaning that this would be applicable, not
absolutely.
Just a year as a
absolutely.
Gift or a purchase.
Yeah. No, yeah. Absolutely across Canada. It can be workable. Even just in the way it's laid out, the language and stuff like that.
It actually has gone across Canada already.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. A number of books have gone to Ontario.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the fact that it says local fruit is local to us, but wherever you are, somebody has fruit in their backyard or they have a market where they're looking for fruits. So I think local is local where you are.
Fantastic.
I think the other thing that needs to be brought up about it, and I'm going to pass this back to Anne, is actually where the proceeds are going. Because this just isn't just a cookbook.
Okay.
This is actually a fundraiser for a specific thing. And I will say, for once, the Chefs Association is not taking any money.
Sure.
Yeah, that's true. This is a fundraiser for diabetes.
Oh,
and I'm a member of Team Diabetes. And what I do is I raise money for Diabetes Canada. And I'm not very good at asking people to give me money. So this is a way that I can take the talents and the resources that I have to raise money for diabetes.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So all the proceeds from the book are going to go to diabetes. And I'm hoping that we'll make a big impact.
Because diabetes is a upcoming, it is a huge issue with a lot of people, and like you know, like balancing your diet and that, and being able to use fresh and local, I think, can help a lot in that. Not only with the monies from the proceeds, but actually some of the recipes
I think are
the healthy.
It's very a soft sell too, because it's not a diabetic cookbook.
Right.
No. But even if just using fruits in a healthy manner is a step in the right direction.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
That's what I liked about the book too, is it's not all about sweet.
Yeah. Mm.
Like there's a lot of savory dishes in there, like sort of things you wouldn't maybe at home think about pairing fruit with, and that there's some great recipes to pair with in there. So
I think one of the things that was great too was I didn't know what recipes were going to come in. I think there was a bit of direction from Leslie, sort of steering people in certain directions, but I've recipes for quince hadn't come in. I probably wouldn't have included quince because it's not that common a recipe.
Yeah.
I mean, it But the thing is that I thought it was not that common. Since I did the book, I have met more people with quince trees in their yard than you can imagine. Yeah. So it is common, but not commonly known how to use it.
Well, that's what I find. Most people don't know what quince is or right. what to use. And I'm going to say this just coming from the ice cream shop, because I did a couple ice creams, because Amara Farm, she brought me in a whole bunch of quince and she says, what do you do with this? And so I was like this and this. And I started making a couple ice creams and sorbets out of it. And then people coming in and going, what's quince? And you're like, oh, well, and then you're trying to explain it to them. And they're like, I don't quite understand, you know, and they're like, well, just try it. And then they're like, oh, I understand.
Yeah. You know? It's not necessarily an easy one to work with right off the bat. It's, it's not something you can eat out of hand.
No.
You have to process it. You have to do something with it.
Mm-hmm.
But these are all quite approachable, which makes it a lot, nicer.
They're not like 50 steps to each recipe. So that's kind of a nice...
really broad... cross-section too, because there are a couple of recipes in there that are a little bit more time intensive, but there are also some that are really, really basic, really simple. So it's a nice difference that way. The other thing that I think that people have really commented on is just how clean and appealing the book looks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just physically, it looks like the kind of book that you're going to pick up and kind of page through and look at.
It is.
There's also a good shout out to lots of different vendors and people from the valley in the back, which is really, it's always nice to be able to recognize what their business is and what they're doing in the valley.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's it really is all kinds of different people, you know, whether they're farmers or producers or actual chefs. It's nice to collaborate that way.
I was a little surprised running through the back there and seeing some names. And I actually sold a book to a woman and she picked it up and she said, oh, I have a friend. She's a chef, da da da, and I was like, oh yeah, I know her quite well, da da da. We're talking about thing, and then I flipped to the back. I'm like, oh, and she's got recipes on in this book here.
Yeah.
She's like, oh my god. So it was kind of neat that.
I didn't look at the back cover until now and just saw you on there, John.
He had to get up early in the morning.
Yeah, I remember that day.
I remember you talking about how you're going to go apple picking with the. Or is that the same day?
No, that was a different Lush Valley. That was just photo day.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, okay.
And I will do a shout out here to Lush Valley because their apple picking, well, actually it's fruit picking, program, their director actually came out first thing in the morning because we had to do it before the farmer's market opened.
Oh, wow.
To bring props out for us for that photo op, which was really awesome that he came out and was able to do that picture. And as you can imagine, that... it's taken in the height of summer. So to get even that number of people together was a challenge. And it was super appreciated that they were able to do all that. Because he showed up with fruit and all kinds of things. It was great.
Oh, it was fun, too, because we all had a good laugh. And good chance to connect with everyone. So
And so where can people pick up this book?
Oh, you can talk about Courtney, and I'll talk about Campbell River.
Okay. I know in Courtney you can get it at the Mustard Lady on Duncan.
Right.
You can obviously get it at the Blue Spruce.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the Laughing Oyster has some copies. I don't know how many they have.
They had four in there the other day when I was...
And I would say that you can always get a hold of the Chefs Association.
Right.
Okay.
Because a board member will have some.
Sure.
So basically, you know, if there's a glitch or if you're needing some quickly or something like that, then yes, that would be the best way. And I would say that if you're looking for volume or you're wanting to actually sell it or something on Anne's behalf, that I would
contact me.
Yeah,
sure.
And in Campbell River, where I am, it's available in quite a few places. It's at the... Willow's Market and the U Wine Place there, and the Art Gallery, Coho Books, Save On Foods.
Wow.
Hope I haven't forgotten anyone, but it's out there. And actually, the newspaper did a little article on it yesterday, so it'll even have more recognition now,
I think. Fantastic. And as Leslie said, if somebody wants to carry this in their shop or store, they're to contact you?
Yes.
How do they do that?
Through Cast Graphics.
Okay.
And
graphics.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that way I can help them get started.
Yeah, perfect.
One thing I wanted to mention or to give, as Leslie says, a shout out is to the designer of the book. because the design, I had no idea what this design was going to turn out. Like, I handed the designer a few pages, a recipe, and said, create me a book.
Right.
And I think she did a really, really good job.
Yeah, it's very visually striking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As Leslie said, it's a very clean look.
Yeah.
And I can be proud because it was my daughter.
Oh, nice. That's fantastic. Yeah. That's even better.
Yeah. It is, but it was just... It was so smooth the way it came together. I felt that it really wasn't that big a hassle to put it together.
No, it was. I would say Sue's probably the one that was the other piece to this puzzle.
Mm-hmm. Which and we've interviewed Sue in the past.
And she is so reluctant to be. She does not like to talk on the microphone. Yeah.
You have to catch her at the right moment.
She doesn't like to talk on the microphone, right. But you get her at home.
We should blindfold her.
I know.
She's Johnny Cathy otherwise.
I think that... For me to do the actual outreach to the vendors and that sort of thing was something that I do easily because I'm there every Saturday and I'm communicating with them anyway on a lot of other things. But she was able to do the follow-up and make sure that, you know, the things were in line. I mean, the single biggest thing, I think, whenever you're doing a cookbook in Canada is what unit of measurement are we doing? And when you're dealing with multiple people coming in, every single one is going to be different because a lot
really?
Of us, some of us deal with weight, some of us deal with imperial, some of us deal with metric, and you have to have at least some format that's reasonably
important. When we both worked at Atlas, there was a baker that worked there, and she, I remember we had just forged a friendship, and she sort of handed over a couple of the Atlas dessert recipes to me, including like the pear and ginger gâteau and whatever. And I started making things, but I was so thrown off because she was doing everything by weight.
Weight by weight, yes.
And I was not used to that as far as like learning at home.
And the best thing with her is it was around her equipment.
Yes.
So one size, it was in kilograms, but if it was something else, it was in pounds.
Yeah. Right.
Like it depends on the equipment she had. So if I had to do over 2 pounds, then it was on in kilograms.
Yeah, you best be using the exact same equipment she used.
Absolutely.
Because otherwise you're thrown off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I hope it works because I had a scale and I was carefully measuring things out on the scale from what the person said and then putting it into a measuring cup to see what it would do.
Yeah.
I did not do that with every recipe, but there were a few recipes that I knew that people would love to use, but if they saw it by weight, they would never use it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is definitely the professional versus the domestic.
Right.
It's a big difference. So
It's a lot easier to bring out one cup of something than to bring out 250 grams.
And then you take it to the next level. If you're working in a really small place and your measuring cup broke 6 months ago and you haven't replaced it, and then you're just using the individual coffee cup that you've simply been using all this time, and that puts a whole new spin to it.
I had a girlfriend back, 20 years ago. She worked at a bakery in Victoria. I think it was called Rising Star.
Yes.
I don't even know if it's still there. Is it?
Yeah.
And she was one of the morning bakers, and everything was measured by their coffee cup.
Absolutely. And you just get to a point where that's how you do it.
Yes,
so trying to do something, you know, that person that comes through, as you say, and does the measurements and checks and, you know, translate all that stuff through and goes through and does this make sense? And I know that Sue will always say, and I think you have just said also, is that because you're actually not in the industry, it makes it, you're actually better for it. Because we translate in our head, that may not be what it necessarily says.
Right.
Because we're already kind of in each other's wavelength.
Yeah.
And if you say, I got it. And then you go and you give that recipe to someone and they look at it and they go, it's missing stuff.
Right.
But for us,
but
it's
in
implied.
Your shorthand, yeah,
we
exactly.
Know.
Right.
You're bringing me back to my cooking classes at Beyond the Kitchen Door with Sue. Sue always brings up the time that I gave her a recipe on a napkin. I was like, here it is. I need those recipes. And I was at the bar. I'm like, all right, and here you go.
Yeah. Actually, that's not uncommon for chefs.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's what we do.
You probably
saw
much like that when getting these.
Yeah.
Well, actually, these recipes sort of went past Sue before they got to me, usually.
Aren't you lucky?
And I am very lucky because I think she put some magic on a few of them before they came to me. But I know from my past cookbooks that I have had recipes handed to me on napkins and scraps of paper or someone handed me a piece of paper and say, okay, you copy what I say.
Yeah. Ever since I decided that I was going to get further into food and further explore food, I've made my own recipe box. I have one that I inherited from my grandmother and one from my mom. I started my own, and theirs are all on perfect little index cards.
Index cards, yeah.
And mine's on old envelopes, ripped paper. Mine's on like colored paper. My kids, I'm like, can you grab me the recipe? I think it's on faded pink paper. They're like, oh yeah, that one.
Red writing, somebody's crayon. Yes, yeah.
That's how it goes.
I think that, and the weird thing is that a lot of them, I put them digital now.
Oh yeah.
But mm-hmm. I still keep the old one.
You know what? I lost all my digital ones. I was using an old program, and I literally went to print them off, and it was like corrupt file, and I'm like, and thank God I've been working on a
That's cookbook. Why you need to buy
a hard copy.
Yeah. I know. Anyways, like but this book. I was lucky I printed all my recipes off, so I was like, oh, thank God. So now I have to retype them, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
So that's fantastic. And something that we didn't touch on, you've written books before.
Yes, I have.
Perfect.
Oh, I can tell you which ones.
Sure.
I started with Island Cookery.
Okay.
And that was, Island Cookery is a book I did a long time ago. I started with Salmon Cookery. Salmon Cookery was recipes from the salmon capital of the world, which Campbell River is. And again, from chefs and resorts and restaurants. And then I went on to Shellfish Cookery, which is a big thing in our area as well. Yeah. We have a lot of shellfish, as you do in this area.
Yeah.
And then I went on to Fish Cookery, which was all the other fish. Plus a bit of salmon. And then for the Blueberry Festival that was up at Mount Washington, I put together a book on blueberries, recipes for blueberries.
Wow.
So, and again, all of the proceeds have gone to diabetes.
That's wonderful. Yeah. And do you have others in mind?
I think I'm going to recover from this one first.
Yeah, of course.
It was a level higher. The other ones were, they had no pictures in them. Although Blueberry one did, but they were spiral bound coil books, and they were different. And this one, I really wanted to take it up a notch, and for one thing, to really honor the recipes that were coming in from the people in this area, and also to just honor what we have. And so I wanted it to be a book that could stand on its own in any store.
And I'm sure, as you said, that collaborating with your daughter worked out well. I'm sure that if you were going forward, you'd probably do the same.
I think so. Has a good eye. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Anne also was the publisher for the North Vancouver Island Chefs Association cookbook that we did about 8 years ago.
I remember that book.
Yeah,
it was a great book.
And it was had a very similar format.
Yeah.
But not the same type of information. I actually like the mix in this better. It was more showcasing the chefs, obviously.
Right.
So it was a little bit different.
Yeah, exactly.
Focus.
Where this is about.
I feel that was just recipes.
And it was just recipes. And it was also just, it was the first time we'd ever done like that, anything like that. So it was, you learn.
I remember the work you put in on that one, the pulling of hair and.
Yes. I think in some ways this one was a little bit easier because we did broaden it out from chefs.
Right.
We did, tag instructors and, as I said, the vendors and stuff like that. So it was different people came to it with a different different focus.
I was just thinking about when we had the Chefs Association meeting that you came and presented the book to us and the interest and how you had it laid out there, how you sort of had a spreadsheet with these are the fruits we have and then these are the recipes we need and what do you have, and so everyone could sort of sit down there and look and be like, oh, you need something for figs, oh, you're looking for something for blackberries, oh, you need something for apples, and so it was kind of that, okay, now I know which direction to go with instead of just going, well, what are my favorite recipes to put in there.
Right. So
that was a real help, I think. The chefs really came up with a good variety, and I love the fact that they did figs because a lot of people grow figs in this area, but maybe don't think about what they can do with them. Mm-hmm. And there's a fantastic recipe that...
My brother has an abundance of figs.
Yeah, I know. I put a fig recipe.
I have to throw my dad under the bus on this one.
Oh, no.
He had a beautiful he has a beautiful fig tree in the back, and it grows.
He does. And he lives across the street from me.
Yeah, I know.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. Anyways, and so he had half a dozen fruit on it, and he was like, these figs are great, but, it's just so much work. And Kirsten looks at him, and she's like, well, can I have one? He's like, yeah, sure, go ahead. And she just breaks it off the tree and takes a bite out of it. My dad just looks at her and is like, you don't have to peel those?
Oh, you're kidding.
Oh,
Changes his whole life.
Changes life on that moment. You don't have to peel those. Yeah.
I love figs. Yeah.
The other thing is that when people think fruit, they think dessert. And as chefs, our immediate go-to is, no, I'm not doing dessert. I want to do I want to do other things with it.
I know I'm weird, but I put them on pizza.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a recipe for...
Oh, is there?
Yes. Yeah.
I do. I like doing figs, a lot of cracked black pepper, arugula, and
like
a strong cheese.
Yeah.
And on a pizza? Oh, my God.
Yeah. We're writing this down as you speak. There's a recipe for gluten-free pizza in there. And actually, there's a number of gluten-free recipes in the book.
Yeah.
But she suggests different combinations of fruit on top of the pizza.
Yeah. So. Well, I only just thumbed through it. I read a couple of passages. I'm really excited to get into the book after, so... yeah, thanks for coming here and showing us and presenting this. This is fantastic. And I love thinking forward too. I mean, here we are in the middle of winter and we can start, you know, take a book like this and look and say, hey, let's, you know, what are we planning on for fruit growing for this year? Or where can we start sourcing some of our fruit for this year? Yeah. I think I love, you know, making those little plans and having things to look forward to.
I know my tongue-in-cheek thought was that I'm really surprised that, you know, on the inside cover or something, there isn't a picture of a bear. Personally, I think that's the epitome.
That's our biggest competition, I think.
Exactly.
Well, one of the things about the book that it's sort of a book that I wish I'd had when I first started gardening, because the first home we lived in had a lot of fruit trees. And I didn't know these things. And I mean, I didn't know that you shouldn't wash your berries before you throw them in the fridge. And I didn't know how to store apples. And, you know, I learned all those things. And because I grew up in a family that canned, you know, I learned how to, I knew how to can, I learned how to dry, I learned how to freeze. I learned all those things. But I was hoping that I could give all this information so another generation can just see it, learn it, and, you know, do it rather than having to go through the many years process that I went through.
Yeah,
and
that's
failures.
Well, I think that's what I was saying with Darren is, like, it's not a big book, but it's all condensed right there. Like, and I know a lot of canning books that I've strolled through are painful because it's a long read and you're, and a lot of it's useless information or not applicable to what you're doing. So, like, for this, like, just being able to be like, okay, this is how I do some canning and these are some things I need to think about. And if you need to go further into it, there is other resources.
I know all my original canning information was out of the UK. And of course, then you have to translate everything as well.
Not only that, it's different. Well, yeah, depends. Yeah. I mean, even regionally, in latitude and longitude, you can you have to adjust things slightly. I just bought, I'm just telling John a few days ago, I bought a pressure canner, which I've never had. I love canning. I think a lot, I've talked about it a lot on here. But having that pressure canner, I've never used one. I've never, I mean, I understand the dangers of it.
Let me tell you all about pressure canning.
But I'm excited. I'm like, and that's why I look at this book and I'm like, oh, that kind of marries well right there. I've got all this excitement to use my pressure canner. And then here's some great recipes and ideas on fruit.
Well, the next book on vegetables, you can really get into your pressure canning.
Yeah, that's what you want,
the pressure canner.
It's almost it comes at us backwards because we're all to the point where, you know, children are either grown or almost grown. And really, this is information you need like when you're like 20, 25, 30.
It's true. Yeah.
Because when you need this is when you've got a growing family, especially if you've got, you know, boys, because you need to feed them nutritionally, and that's something that we feel strongly about.
Yeah.
And but how do you do it with the time allotment that you've got and with the what's your resources are? And these are good ways of giving them financially a piece that they can work with.
It's amazing that you almost sort of set up, even though you don't know, like John knows that I'm starting a YouTube channel to teach people the basics, just the basics. Like, I'm nothing fancy, nothing elaborate, just teaching people the rudimentary skills they need to know to get started in a kitchen.
It's
That's I'm starting that in January. And
it's really hard for us to kind of think that people need this, but you're absolutely
right. It's true, yeah.
And of course, we want to do the stuff that's way over here that's really complicated and that. But you're right, because there's been that gap.
Yeah.
I know I learned from my mother-in-law mostly, but we actually had to go and ask her. Wow. When we were about 30, my husband and I said, okay, we need to learn how to can. Yeah. And we brought the case of peaches and the case of apricots and that stuff, and we sat down and did it.
Actually, I got to laugh because we had that moment. Remember that it was one of the wraparounds for the farmer's market on the newspaper there, and okay. Aaron Rail did how to boil an egg.
Ah, yes. Oh, yes. I remember when I put that in.
Darren was read just it, like, and he just starts laughing. He's like, what a taking the easy way in. Yeah, like, and I'm like, shut up. That is the most brilliant recipe I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I'm like, because that's the starting blocks, yes. right? Like, just getting that down.
Well, that's how I came into this with John, is I came on as a guest. And at the time, I was trying to start this YouTube channel. YouTube wasn't as big as it was at the time. But generally talking about just that. And then Blaine stepped out of the show.
Right.
And I lived really close to John. And it just made sense for me to sort of jump in instead of doing the YouTube thing, do this. But now I've still got that yearning.
Hankering.
I do. Yeah. I know I'm taking this off in another direction, but really quickly, right around the same time that I was going through my divorce, I had a couple of other people in my life that were also going through divorces. I also had a couple of people I knew had just gone through a really hard spell in college, coming out of university. And I'm like, I cannot believe how many people I'm surrounded by that don't know the basics. They have no idea how to just get started in a kitchen. Mm-hmm. And you know, I was determined, because I grew up in a very food-centric household and family. You know, my grandfather owned a restaurant that we grew up in. I was determined. I was like, I need to show people. I'm not a chef. And I'm never going to profess to be one. But I know the basics. And I can show people how easy it is to get in the kitchen and get started.
It used to be a standard that you got a joy of cooking when you left home.
Yeah.
Or how to survive at college or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's simply you got it so that you could move beyond a grilled cheese sandwich.
Yeah.
That's basically what they were trying to teach you.
Exactly.
I still have my Better Homes and Gardens.
Yeah, so do I.
Oh,
yeah.
I got it for my 21st birthday. And you know, I think it was a rite of passage, actually, those days.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
I still use a chili recipe.
Yeah.
And it's got four ingredients or something like that. It's just like really basic.
What have I got here?
Step by step.
I got this when I went on the charter boat, because I just needed a book that had everything in it. And it's like, some of the recipes are amazing, some of them are the worst I've ever had to deal with. But like, it's just having that reference there, and you don't have Wi-Fi when you're in a boat, so that's was it available in those days.
Well, that's why we made the descriptions about learning about the fruit so simple, because you can get all kinds of complicated descriptions, but just knowing what to look for, knowing that.
That's the thing too, is I find that people, once they have a certain amount of confidence, that they're competent. And you get confidence by having a little bit of knowledge. So something like this, where you get that little bit of knowledge, you understand what you're working with, you start to figure, you know, things start to make sense, or you understand its capabilities, its limitations. That's where creativity starts for me.
Yeah. Well, something as simple as an apple is the fact that different kinds of apples, some overwinter, some are better for cooking, some are better for eating straight up, some are crossover.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and you're standing in the grocery store going, it's an apple.
Yeah.
But there's a lot to it.
There's
a
big difference.
You know, kind of start easy and learn a few, and then just keep trying different stuff.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
One of my favorite things I learned was cherry pitting. I was reading all about different ways to cherry pit, and I was trying to come up with a way that was really easy with something I had on hand, and I read about a way that you take a wine bottle and you put the cherry on and you put a straw or a chopstick through. My goodness, does that ever work well?
It does.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, the wine bottle technique's the best for sure.
Yeah.
For canning, when you have to pit a lot at fast.
Yeah.
Good
for
sure.
I know I bought a big tray that you roll them all on, and then it basically the same thing, that it pushes through and pits all of them and puts it into a little tray. But it's basically a wine bottle with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, same idea.
But with canning, I never did bother to pit my cherries.
Oh, no?
Not on canning.
I mean, because I think that I took to them, so they were my favorite thing in the world
Me
when
too.
I was like three. Mm. So my mom knew that she had, I don't know if she did beforehand, but I remember all of our cherries growing up, all our canned cherries were always pitted, probably because, you know, she had to give them to a three-year-old. She didn't want me choking on them, but.
I don't know. Our kids were really good at spitting.
No, I was good at eating.
We all have our talents. Right?
Yeah, really.
Yeah, cherries came to me when I found out you can mix them with bourbon, so then obviously that's a whole nother level. So.
I learned about cherries, actually. One of my first jobs, actually, I worked with a guy who grew up in the Okanagan, and he told me about his grandmother putting pieces of bread in his pockets when he went out to play in the summertime, or the summertime, because they would eat so many cherries they needed something for
to balance it.
Oh, wow. that story really stuck with me.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Yeah, really.
Wow.
Oh, the balance of breakfast. Yeah,
right,
okay.
Right.
Hilarious.
Yes.
Cool.
All right.
So we should get some information if people want to contact you about the book, just to put that out there. If there's a website,
it's not on our website. So the easiest way to contact would be to contact Cass Graphics Limited in Campbell River. And I can give a phone number.
Yeah. Sure, that'd be great.
250-286-0878. Perfect. And I'd love to give the toll-free number, but can I remember it?
That's all right.
No
People
worries.
Can look it up. Cass Graphics.
With a K.
Yes. K-A-S-K.
Yeah.
All right.
And of course, Leslie, the Chefs Association, if anyone wants to get in contact with the Chefs Association about everything, anything.
Yeah, it's info@North Vancouver Island Chefs Association.
Mm-hmm. I just thought, of course, they can email me.
Right.
Yeah.
Info.
Yes.
info@castgraphics.com.
And I don't even know if we touched on the book is called Ripe. Local fruit, use it fresh, preserve the rest, by Ann Cask. And if you're looking for it to pick it up, or a last minute Christmas gift, or just want one for your house, I'm sure that by contacting those sources, you'll be able to find one. You can track one down for sure.
And I was it's on my computer. It's one of my today jobs, is I will be posting a Facebook of all the our members that have actually got recipes in it, because it's actually a very long list. Surprising the number of people that don't realize that they're actually in it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, really.
I was going to say we should mention all the people that put in recipes, but it would take too long.
It's really
check
long.
Check out the Facebook page.
I will. Yeah, I did do it. So, yes, please.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us.
Yes. Thanks for coming
thank
in.
Thank you.
And nice to swim in.
Yeah. And thank you for listening to the Edible Valley Podcast.
And once again, remember, keep it fresh, keep it flavorful, and keep it fun. Thanks for listening to the Edible Valley Podcast.